We've got a guy on the line. We were talking about this guy yesterday.
Yeah.
And I spoke with Perlman years ago on my show, and he and I, we follow each other on Twitter, and he's a great follow on Twitter. He's a New York Times best-selling author of 8 books, maybe the go-to sports author in the game. And he's got a new one out, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. And he joins us now. Here is Jeff Perlman. How you doing, Jeff?
You know, in your introduction of me, you forgot to mention that he's an aspiring Canadian who just wants to be saved from this mess going on right now.
Is that right? I pick up on that on your Twitter feed, man. You get sucked into that rabbit hole, man. You're going at people. You're tweeting about different things. I mean, yeah. Trump, is it fair or unfair with this book being out and Trump being, I don't know if he's a prominent member or character within the book, but he was a former owner of a team in the USFL. Can you use that to your advantage in a weird way, selling that Trump does play a role in this book?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, and I think a lot of people are just sick of hearing about him. I've never been, I don't know what it's like up there in relation to this, but I don't remember a time period in my life where you've had a public figure who's so ubiquitous in everything you talk about, and I think people are tired of it. So, on the one hand, he's a fascinating USFL character. I mean, he kind of ruined the USFL. And on the other hand, it was such a fun football league that you hate for it to just turn into political talk.
So how did he basically ruin the league?
All right, so the league started. It was a spring football league. It was spring. It started in 1983, and it was a really good idea. Spring football instead of fall, 18-game seasons. Our drafts are going to be regionally based in large part. So the Tampa Bay Bandits are going to be adding a lot of Florida State players, so on and so on. The idea being that fans would sort of roll with your teams, and it was a good idea. First season was a pretty successful season overall, 12 teams. Heading into the second season, 84, Donald Trump buys the New Jersey Generals. They were for sale. And in the lead-up to buying the team, he's all about the USFL. This league is great. I love what they're doing. I'm really excited to be a part of it. As soon as he is officially owner of the New Jersey Generals, this is a joke. We need to be in the fall. Fall is where it's at. If God wanted football in the spring, he wouldn't have invented baseball. He has a secret meeting with Pete Rozelle, the commissioner of the NFL at the time, right around this time, and says, I don't really care about the USFL. I want an NFL franchise. What do I have to do to get into the NFL? Pete Rozelle tells him, as long as he's commissioner, Donald Trump will never have a team in the NFL. Donald Trump then leads this push for the NFL to move to fall, because he believes what will happen is, if he pushes to fall, eventually the NFL will be forced to merge. And if the NFL merges, Donald Trump will wind up with a team in New York City, because the Jets had just moved to New Jersey. So there's a big void in New York. So basically, he sort of bullies, lies, talks about the TV deals waiting for the fall. He's had talks with all the networks, and all very excited about the USFL. That just was not true whatsoever. Convinces the other owners that moving to fall is a way to go. There's a lot to the story, but ultimately they end up announcing a move to fall, suing the NFL. Trump guarantees the other owners that the NFL will settle, that they'll be so terrified. They don't settle, and the lawsuit proves disastrous to the USFL. They win a dollar, and the league dies.
Doesn't sound like Trump. Secret meetings,
lying about all the different details.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah. Wait, I'll tell you one. Really crazy is he passes prologue times 1,000. It really is with the USFL. He signed Doug Flutie, the later fantastic CFL quarterback, out of Boston College. So Doug Flutie's first team he ever played for were the New Jersey Generals. And he signed him to the biggest contract in pro football history coming out of college. And he promised his colleagues with the Generals, don't worry, we're going to sign him, but the other teams are going to wind up paying most of his contract. And he actually wrote a letter to the other owners and the commissioner saying, I've done the USFL great service by signing Doug Flutie. This is great for the league, and I expect all of you to contribute. And I was researching this right around the same time. He was saying over and over again in America, we're going to build a wall. Mexico is going to pay for it. He was going to sign Doug Flutie. The other owners are going to pay for it. And I kept saying, this is the same crap 30 years earlier. It's the same playbook, man. It really is the same playbook. So there you go.
Wow, that's wild. With Jeff Perlman, he's got a new book out, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. Putting Trump aside here, you guys, I mean, in the book, a lot of untold stories, 400 different interviews, stories that obviously are about the 80s and drug excess and fights between players and owners. Is there one story in particular, non-Trump story, that sticks out where if you were selling somebody on this book, this would be the story you would detail?
Oh, yeah. My favorite character. So there's a guy named Greg Fields. He played for the Baltimore Colts in 1979 as a rookie. And he was the lowest paid guy in the roster. He was a free agent at Grambling. And he nicknamed the guys who made a lot of money Big Paper. So they'd walk by and he'd be like, hey, Big Paper. So his nickname became Big Paper. And so he was known throughout football as Big Paper. And in 1981, he was in camp with the Atlanta Falcons. And they cut him. And Big Paper refused to leave. He just wouldn't leave. So they had to bring in an armed security guard to escort him out. And that was it for him in the NFL. But the USFL would take pretty much anyone. He signed with the LA Express. In 1984, John Hadle, the coach of the Express, causing Greg Fields to cut him. And he says, you know, Greg, you've really done a great job here. But before he can finish, Greg Fields punches him in the face. And security has to come in and drag Greg Fields out. And he starts calling in death threats to the team. I'm going to kill the coach. I'm going to show up at the next game and shoot him. And he has a gun he keeps in his car. And the Express got really freaked out. And they hire this guy, Nelson Mercado, who at the time was Liberace's bodyguard. And I hired Nelson Mercado to come in and keep tabs on Greg Fields and watch the coach. And he's following around Greg Fields. He puts a tracer on his car. Greg Fields is showing up at practices, just staring at the coach from across the fence, calling in death threats. And you know, and everyone knows about it in the USFL. It's a big deal in the USFL. But the league is so crazy. The San Antonio Gunslingers need defensive line help. So they actually signed Greg Fields as a free agent. He joined San Antonio. In 1985, the Gunslinger's owner stops paying players. So Greg Fields follows him home one day with a baseball bat, the owner of the team, and he sees he lives in a mansion, and the owner gets out of the car. Greg Fields gets out of his car, and he says, I see where you live. I know you have money. I want to get paid. And the owner's terrified. Greg Fields is 6'7", 280 pounds. He goes, wait here. And he goes inside, and he comes back out with a paper bag filled with $17,000 in cash and gives it to Greg Fields, and Greg Fields is never seen again.
Wow. That's how you get rid of a problem. 17 grand in cash. That gets rid of Big Paper.
My son and I, we had no way of finding Greg Fields. Nobody knew where he was. Nobody. I found two addresses for him. My son and I tracked him down in San Francisco, and, you know, we wound up, me and my nine-year-old kid and the guy who threatened to kill his coach, eating Cold Stone Creamery at a mall in Sacramento, California.
Was he terrifying or what?
No, he was awesome. You know, he's 61 years old now. He's not exactly threatening to kill anyone. He was great. He was great.
With Jeff Perlman, the author of Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. You can find it wherever books are sold. And you've written a lot of books, a lot of sports books, books about Favre, the Lakers dynasty, the Cowboys dynasty. You wrote a book about Walter Payton. And generally speaking, just following your career from afar, whenever you write these books, someone gets pissed off at you. And I remember when the Payton book came out, Ditka was rattled, and he took shots at you publicly and on the record. Is there anyone taking a run at you from the USFL that, you know, isn't happy with your work, or someone that's reached out? What kind of reaction have you heard from the actual characters involved in the book?
I just want to say, in Mike Ditka's defense, he only threatened to spit on me.
Right. That was it. True. No physical harm, just spitting on you. Harm.
I've had nothing, but it's only been out a week, so you got to give it a little more time. But I've had most of the guys from USFL honestly view this as like a great giant fraternity party, and they were so happy to talk about it. So it's not quite the same as dealing with a sort of legacy like Walter Payton's or Brett Favre's, where there's some delicate elements to it. The USFL was just like a big frat party.
I guess Trump would be the only guy that might reach out, right? Would you be honored by that if Trump or Trump's people reached out to you?
I want a tweet. I want the fake news tweet. Begging for the fake news. If you guys have any, hookups, and you give me a fake news tweet.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can do that.
I think he would.
I don't think you should be honored anymore. Everyone gets the fake news.
It would be it would be the failing Jeff Perlman.
Failing Jeff Perlman.
So sad.
P-E-R-L instead of P-E-A-R-L.
So sad.
And then he would capitalize sad for no reason. Yeah.
And he'd also say everyone knows it, too.
Everyone knows it. Everyone knows.
So
fake news.
Right. You are fake news.
There it is. we can drop a soundbite for you. That's about all we can do
for
you.
That'd be great. I'll take it.
The book, again, Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. He is Jeff Perlman. Great catching up with you, man. Good luck with the book going forward, and we'll see where the next one comes out, and I'm sure we'll get you on again down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much. Take care.
There's Jeff Perlman.